comes the Monday Marketing Huddle Podcast. We are here to provide you marketing tips and tricks to expand your business. And now your hosts, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday Morning Huddle with D2 Media Team. We are the D2s, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin. We are a media agency specializing in traditional and digital media to grow your business with strategy. Each week, we host a special guest to talk about their business, tell their story, and give our listeners some thoughtful and helpful tips to market their business. And this week, we have Mike McDougall from McDougall Communications, who just happens to be a friend of mine, and I think he's awesome. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about him. For two decades, Mike has been doing just that, PR for brands on a global basis, and in the process has earned 12 Public Relations Society of America silver anvils. Is that correct, Mike?
That is right.
And awards of excellence, the Oscars of the communication industry. I'm not surprised. And before returning to the consulting world in 2011, Mike served as a global vice president of corporate communications and public affairs for eye health giant Bausch & Lomb. Maybe you guys have heard of them. And director of worldwide public relations and digital marketing development for Eastman Kodak Company. And prior to that, he spent about a decade in various PR and marketing communication agency leadership roles before owning his own business. Welcome, Mike.
Wow.
Wow, you're quite the accomplished person here.
It always sounds better on paper.
Yeah.
So. I don't know.
When you're a writer, you can write your own. You know,
we've done business together. I think you're all that and more, so.
Well, thanks.
Well, yeah, Mike, thanks for joining us. We're really excited to talk to you because I think public relations is something that not everyone understands or knows if they need. And I think, you know, we had coffee with you. I was like, wow, you know, he'd be a great guest on our podcast. So, you know, tell us what it is. Like, what is public relations and why do businesses need it?
Yeah, good. It's a great place to start, Debbie. It's funny. It's the question my mom has asked me for 25 years since I've been in it and even back in college. The easiest way to describe it is it's the voice of your organization brought back to the publics they serve. But also it's a two-way street, right? It's you taking input, attitudes, opinions from your audiences, from your customers, those in your community, and bringing it back into the organization, then to shape your story, right? And it crosses, right? That in a lot of ways, that crosses with brand teams, your marketing teams, your communications, public affairs. So it's called different things in different places. The other way to look at it is somebody told me once, it's taking credit for doing good.
I like it.
So do you think that public relations really took off after the show scandal? Like people kind of saw like what public relations, like crisis management is?
I think that gives you one perspective of it.
Okay.
That world exists, right? Yes. It's not my world, but that world exists. You know, there is the hair on fire intrigue world of public relations. There's the celebrity publicist aspect of it, right? Yep. You're dealing with bad deeds and making them go away. Yeah, sure, that exists. It's a small segment. You know, PR really exists for most organizations in a day-to-day role. Again, to shape your story and help you tell it, you know, in a variety of ways. It's earned media, right? It's what you pick up and read. It's what you see on television. It's your social media feeds. You know, shaping that story. There's a paid component to it, like there never has been before. You know, where it used to be completely earned and it was all influence. Now it's really a part of your marketing mix in so many ways. And then there's a shared component. It's having your partners echo your story. So it's called the PESO model, right? And a lot of people use it: paid, earned, shared, and owned. We play in all four sectors.
That's great. Yeah. So we always pride ourselves that this show, we're trying to give business owners tips to improve their marketing. So does it matter what size company you are, Mike? Like, is it, I mean, D2 is like a small, you know, three person, soon to be the biggest agency, you know, in the Northeast, but, and then you got car dealers, like, does it matter what size business you are? Does everybody need PR?
I think you have to keep it in mind, right? No matter your size, it's how you then go about putting it into action. But start with the mindset first. You look at PR also as managing your own reputation, right? You're going to do that naturally. Mm-hmm. If you're a two-person organization, a one-person organization, you still want to be thought of in the best possible way. You still want to tell your story. That may be you saying, how do I do it? If you're a car dealership, you know, with one site or 50 sites, you're still going to do the same. You know, as you grow, you're probably going to need more resources to do it. And I say to do it, right? That's everything from what is the story to writing it, to producing the content you need to tell the story, to go out and having the conversations. You may want to do it all yourself. You may not be able to. You may not have time. Exactly. Also, you may not have the skills. You know, there's people who love, who are clients of ours, who are friends of mine, who are phenomenal at what they do. They aren't great at telling their own story. They're either too humble. They're not comfortable having conversations. They're actually not people, you know, people person thing, which people say is PR. I'm an introvert by nature, right? I'm not a people person, but really, if you look at my, you know, look at the variety of scoring in the PR world, you teach yourself to be what you need to be. So I guess I'm an extroverted introvert at this point, but yeah, everybody needs it in one way, shape or form.
So what does the process look like? If someone says, geez, okay, I'm listening to this, we need a plan for our PR. Like what does it look like? Is it like a annual program with you, a monthly? How does the relationship work?
Yeah, well, the first question we ask is why? You know, why do you need to engage us? Or also, what are you trying to do? Right. You may come into this saying, look, I'm looking to grow my business and I want PR to be part of the mix. I have a crisis or an issue I've faced and I need to help resolve that before I can move forward. Mm. Maybe I have a new partnership, that's coming into play and I want to figure out what's our story together. And we'll bring the PR team in. So the first thing first is let's figure out what you want to do. What are your goals? What are your objectives? And then only let's talk about we move from there. And also to say, it's not in isolation. The best PR programs are run as part of a broader marketing mix. And again, it can be a really small marketing plan or it can be a multi-billion-dollar organization you're working with.
Yeah.
Not a multi-billion-dollar PR plan. Those don't exist yet.
Yeah. But it's going to be a big one.
That'd be nice, right? It's going to be, but be part of the mix. And I think maybe the other thing too is people say, oh, it's PR. It's free media. Mm-hmm. It's not free. It's only free if you're doing it on your own time.
Right.
And if you're doing that in your own time, it's opportunity cost. You know, you're giving something else up, so it's not free. It takes time.
So what does it mean? Like, is there a ballpark estimate? I mean, is it hourly? Like, what if someone's listening, like, you know, sure. And how much should I allocate of my annual budget towards my PR? Is there any guidelines?
Yeah, the general guideline, right, for Marcom marketing spend, it ranges depending on who you speak to. But you should be looking at, you know, single digit percentage. You know, it's 4-8%. PR wise, it depends what you need. Depends on the mix of where you need PR. In some cases, PR is not your best bet, right? We're happy to tell people that too. Yeah, right. You may be much better with a straight up media buy. You may not have a great earned media story to tell. You know, you're just doing the same thing day in, day out and killing it. That's great. It may not be, you may not need PR for it. You may want it, but you may want to invest elsewhere. Into some other marketing discipline. And for us, being comfortable to have that conversation with you is what I think in our mind has made us successful as well. We're not selling you PR simply because we're a PR agency. Right. We're going to offer PR to you if you need it and if it fits. We're just as willing to say no. And we actually regularly do say no, just because if we don't think it's going to be a fit and it's going to be a success, we'd rather not engage.
Right.
Yep. So Mike, tell us about COVID. I mean, has that helped your business? I'm sure there's a lot of companies out there who had to make some changes.
Yeah, they did. It's, you know, obviously, I think it's been a struggle for most. We were a little bit insulated as a company because of our crisis work.
Yep.
Right? So we had some organizations have to pull back on proactive spend because of their marketing impact. We had others, and sometimes one and the same, up their crisis work with us. in that case, you know, a lot of it early on was even helping the organizations understand what their crisis protocols were for COVID-19 specifically.
Right.
We always recommend that clients have crisis communications plans. Some of them do.
That's a great point, Mike.
Even the most, a one sheet to say in the event of a crisis, what should I do? That's better than nothing at all.
Yeah.
That might be the best tip out there for everyone listening.
Yeah. Don't create your crisis plan in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah. A crisis plan. That is the best advice.
It can be simple. It can be complex. The simplest ones are, you know, here are a few scenarios that are likely to occur in my line of business. How would I respond to each? It's not going to tell you completely what you should do. It's going to make it that much easier when it happens, because you're going to pull that out or pull it up and go, okay, I've kind of thought through this when I wasn't in the middle of the fire. Let me remind myself what I need to do. The more complex plans, I mean, we have plans that run 80, 100 plus pages for clients.
Wow.
And try to anticipate things that you never want to anticipate. And that's changed, right? So pandemic was not in anybody's crisis plan.
Nobody's.
But health issue or site closure or site shutdown were. So how did you adapt? And we help clients adapt to that. As well. The other thing too is, you know, we've had to obviously get away from live events. So we're working with a lot of clients on how do you take an event that was live, right? A meeting with doctors for our healthcare clients globally. Events with, we do industrial lighting with a client down in the Carolinas. How do you not show up at a lighting show and still talk about the brilliance of outdoor lighting? To bring these to life in a virtual environment that everybody's had to do. The struggle now is how do you do it so anybody still cares? I mean, we're all Zoomed out. We're all WebExed out. You know, Microsoft Teams only brings you so far by putting people in their little chairs. The novelty's gone.
Right.
And we're seeing attention spans lag. Probably the biggest question now in COVID is when do we go back? Right. So a lot of questions coming in on when do we actually start budgeting for live events again? And with some degree of assurance.
Yeah. Great.
If anybody knows, they can call in and let me know. Because I'd love to know.
So you can have a plan for that release as well.
Unless we're in Australia, right? That's the, there are some, never trust a COVID calendar right now, right? There are some events that people said, hey, are going to happen in the UK in June. I can't imagine it's going to work, but they're going headstrong towards it.
But I like it. I like the positivity. I feel good about that. I feel like we need to be very, very positive.
I think we do. I think it's being positive and being realistic. And that's what we counsel people to is, you know, don't be negative, but you need a backup plan or three.
Or three. Yeah. So Mike, can you share like a great success story that you and your team have? Because you're such a great storyteller. I love to listen to all the things that you guys do. I find it so interesting.
Thanks. Darcy, do you want one on the crisis side or on the non-crisis?
Oh, yeah, let's do the crisis, because that's crisis? Really the interesting stuff. We want you to save somebody. I love that idea.
I'll give you one. It's funny. So probably about 30, 35% of our work is crisis and issues management, right? Oh, and crisis is crisis. You're in the middle of an issue. You need to solve it. Issues management is there's a broader issue for your industry, your organization, and it's a constant, right? Constantly working through that to navigate because it's part of your daily business operations.
Right.
The near-term crisis, actually, we'll make it COVID-related. Last March, so March of 2019, we do a lot of work in the optometric industry, in contact lens industry, with my Bausch & Lomb background. And there was a medical society that traditionally doesn't fit contact lenses. They are more focused on other ways to correct your eyesight. Who came out and were very vocal on saying there was linking COVID-19 to contact lens wearers.
Wow.
Right? So you're talking about 50 million contact lens wearers alone in the US and Canada,
All right,
hundreds of millions around the world. And they were getting massive media exposure all of a sudden by being out there and, you know, ringing that bell saying, stop wearing your contact lenses, take a pause. We work with a research institute in Ontario, who's one of the top ocular science groups in the world. They're affiliated with the University of Waterloo. We actually launched a 30-day campaign to go after that and really correct that misinformation. In between, you know, creating a series of very simple tips on why contact lenses remain safe based on the science, We did some work with them, and they got a peer review paper published quickly, acknowledging the same. Wow. And then, you know, stood up a website called covidifacts.org. Here's everything you need to know about the eye during COVID. Yeah. Right? Got that, I mean, launched, populated, and running in about 5 days.
Wow.
Because you got to move quick, right? Not a lot of sleep. And then started working with major media around the world to have this conversation and to say, look, you're running out of fear. Let's bring you the fact. In 30 days, and this is not every crisis plan works to this effect, but we reached our total reach in terms of earned media was, we ran the numbers last night for something, 6.1 billion in 30 days.
We hit
55 countries, over 6,000 stories in 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and it did. What we saw, and it wasn't just us, right? But it was working with industry. We got contact lens manufacturers, industry associations, others to echo this. It's a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. You know, we saw that decline that was happening in contact lens sales suddenly plateau. And it went flat, 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 flat. And we just saw the data at the end of that 30 days. It started to come back up.
What a great story.
Yeah, well, yeah, so
great story.
It doesn't always work that well, but it definitely worked.
Awesome. Mike, thank you so much.
And you're welcome.
I'm just going to plug you one more time because I think you're the best. So if anyone is looking for anyone in PR and you want the very best, just reach out to Debbie and I. We'll get you in touch with Mike. No one will do a better job. He does it on a national level, international level. He will do everything. And let's hope you don't need a crisis. And if you do, the most important takeaway is to have a crisis plan. I love that.
Yes, have a crisis plan now.
Well, there's mutual admiration for D2, Darcy. You're building a great organization and have a great reputation. So you're doing your own PR very well. I can tell.
Well,
crisis plan though will be coming.
Is our girl. She's great, but don't steal her from us.
Okay, I won't. I won't.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Thanks for being on, Mike.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.